We're in the money. We're in the money.
With us. We're in the money, yeah. We're in
the money.
Money, you bet. Hell yeah. Hey, folks, how you doing? Good afternoon, morning, evening to the worldwide audience here on the Andy and Amanda program. My name is Andy Kimball. We have a very special guest who's been joining us on a weekly basis at about, who's stepping in for Amanda Love, who's attending her sister's wedding today in the UK. We wish them all the best and a great day. Congratulations. But anyway, moving on to today's show, we have Lee Van Dusen joining us. Hey, Lee, how we doing?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. It's going real well. It's going real well. We are in the money. We are doing great. We're happy campers here on the Andy and Amanda show, and I hopefully that we've had the listeners over the past, I guess, since July 30th that have been tuning in to our Friday shows, where we've been really focusing on money, on stocks, on the stock squeeze, on the mechanics and logistics of what that is, how that evolved, how does one participate. We've addressed it all, and we've been watching it ever since. And you know, it's funny because, Lee, when you first came on the stock, you know, we looked it up. We didn't even know what a stock squeeze was. I didn't know. And, you know, many of our listeners didn't know. I know what? Uh-huh. A what? And cause, you know, we've had you on before, obviously, talking about just, you know, basic other things, news and having some fun and jokes and stuff. And then we started talking about this, you know, as you're an active participant in what's called that Ape Nation, which we'll address in a little bit. But and then you said, AMC. We looked at that day. It was 58. I'm like, whoa, you know, and I don't own any stocks. I've never done any of this before, ever, none. I think I bought a little bit of Lockheed after the 9/11 because I figured the government's going to go to war. It's a good bet to bet on a military contractor, and I did well with Lockheed. But anyway, at the time. But anyway, even though I'm not disregarding the tragedy of 9/11, which is coming up tomorrow. Oh my God, 20? How many years? 20 years? Yeah. Oh my goodness.
20. Yeah. 20 years.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Anyway, maybe we'll talk about that a little bit. But anyway, but maybe not, because I'm sure so many other programs and media. They are, so maybe we won't. But anyway, getting back to what I was talking about, AMC was 58 on July 30th, and then during the week, you know, I've been, you know, programming the next show with Amanda and going back and forth, and we saw it drop to 29.
If I had my way.
We're like, yeah, right. See, that's a real good thing here. That's a great, yeah, 58 now, 29. Hey, I didn't even realize
that that's when I joined.
These people are sick.
I can't wait to get on
AMC and had a massive dip.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, he's coming on AMC. Oh, yeah, yeah, down 58. Next thing you know, you turn around, 29. I'm like,
you've got to pick a pocket or two.
And yes, so here I am.
Yeah, this guy's giving great advice to our listeners. Hey, folks. But anyway, well,
everybody invest your money here. Bam. But it's so good. It is so good that it happened. I'm telling you, it's divine timing because it happened that way. So all of us buy in on that dip and see, you know, more shares and see this momentum. So for us to be, you know, I think we're at like 51 today, probably climbing still. I haven't checked yet, but
climbing.
Yeah, we're like 51 is what I've been seeing all day. So we're coming right up to where we started this whole adventure. So
we are.
Everybody
got
a chance to buy in, including yourself and myself. Yeah. You know, during this big old dip that we had, and I think it's phenomenal.
It really is, and I buy AMC stock every single day. I get the morning, I go buy more. I get the morning, I go buy more. I get the morning, I go buy more. and here's what I usually the night before. Here's what I'm. This is all brand new to me. I've got, I know some people, actually parents or friends of my kids, really, you know, but who are very, very, very well-to-do, and you're living in Pasadena near the Rose Bowl in an amazing home. You know, a couple different people, but one couple in particular. You know, I dropped by, you know, gave her a ride home one time. She says, my daughter, and pull up to this amazing house. I'm like, oh, my God. And I had to ask my daughter, what do they do? What's that do? Or what, mom, whatever it might be. And so he's a day trader. That's what he does. He invests money in the stock market and is incredibly wealthy. I mean options and stocks and whatever. I'm a former corporate pilot with NetJets, and I've flown very, very, very. I've flown the top, you know, the very top of the creme de la creme of wealthy people in this country, the Cathcarts, the Vanderbilts, I've flown all those folks and then some. And you got to speaking with a lot of them, and you realize that you know, it's not how many shoes the shoe store sells, it's what stocks does that shoe store chain own in other companies. I mean, they got to sell their shoes, but to gain net worth, I mean, to really get that one level to the next floor up is not just on selling inventory. It's about, you know, buying and selling stock. And that is an important part of gaining wealth to any degree, any magnitude in the United States. And we have the ability to do that. Now, it's like going to a casino. You put it on red, it could land on black. And quite often it does land on black. It's a risky biz, you know. And so, you can't afford, if you like going to a casino, if you can't afford to lose it, then don't bet it. You know, if you need that, you don't put your kids' college tuition, don't put your house on the market and lose it, and then where are you? You know, my gosh. So, you know, you gotta do this. You gotta play this game with some knowledge, with some intelligence, with some intuition, I might say. I think a significant amount of this is, you know, I've got a gut feeling this is going to happen, and your gut feeling doesn't always work, but for me, it's been okay. I don't know why. I know nothing about this. I'm doing pretty damn good. So what do
go
I
with your gut,
what,
man?
What do I know, right? But typically, so what's happening, folks, is and Lee and I have, and Amanda have talked about this since July, and I guess for the benefit of our listeners who are just joining the show, and every show we do, we have a whole foundation of brand new Andy and Amanda Show fans and listeners, and we welcome all you folks aboard, of course. But the AMC stock squeeze, it's interesting, I'm jumping around here a little bit, but the AMC stock squeeze programs that we've been doing mostly on Fridays, and Amanda and I are so excited about it, we talk about it all week long, Lee. But anyway,
I love it.
we address maybe reshaping the orientation of this show. But anyway, the numbers, you know, we're always looking at analytics and our coordinator back on the East Coast, Cornell. He's, you know, he does the social, whatever you do on the shows and the networking and the social media and, you know, puts out the whatever he puts out. I don't even know half of it. I just get behind the microphone. But he's always asking about numbers. We have a great large distribution program for our podcast, which is what this radio show becomes after we're finished. And it seems that numbers reflect that when we have AMC in the description of our show, in our title, our numbers are way up. I mean, they're good anyway. They're good. They're healthy regardless. But when we do talk AMC, it seems like there's a lot of interest in what we're talking about. You know, there's a lot of interest in this eighth nation.
It's all the hype right now, man. I mean, this is the news. It's funny because I was like looking up all this different news to talk about today on the show. I'm like, everything that I looked up was like coronavirus this, you know, federal government shuts this down. Mm-hmm. It was all just depressing as shit. And no wonder the show's working because it's an upbeat, high lifting, we're making fucking money. It's a great show.
I listen to this
over the news any day of the week, man.
You know what's interesting? You know, I was thinking about this morning, you know, I'm kind of programming. I got some audio clips I should play later and so forth. But anyway, I was thinking about this, that much like Ape Nation, which, folks, is retail investors, Lee, myself, others, Will Womack, who's been a guest on the show via Lee, who's also very knowledgeable on this whole process and mechanics, we're just average Joe Schmo in the street. I mean, we have professions. We do different things in life. We might be school teachers. We might be airline pilots. We might be musicians. We might be carpenters, professors, whatever it might be, welders. And we we've learned about the process of what a stock squeeze is, how you can change your life big time by learning and gaining knowledge, education, and participation. And this show, I mean, Amanda and I, and we started, as you know, Lee, with the Coast to Coast show with Andy Kimball Boyd Booker, you know, back on the East Coast. This show started as a social justice program with insights on the news and the headlines from a black guy on the East Coast and a white atheist on the West Coast. that's how this show actually started, and we grew from just, you know, okay, it was, you know, the George Floyd thing and blah, 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 and, you know, black perspectives on news and white perspectives. And it got to a point where we figured, okay, and the input we were getting and the emails we were getting and the discussions we wanted to have, it seemed like, okay, this show's got to grow out of that. And then Cornell Butler introduced me, he's our producer on the East Coast, introduced me to Amanda Love in the UK. None of us have ever met. And we just grew out to a whole new dimension on the show. But here's the thing. All of us who are part of this team, we are on the radio, talking to an audience around the world on internet radio, and we're not journalists, we're not commentators, we're not news media, we're just ordinary people like investors in the stock market doing the squeeze. We're just citizens. We're retail journalists, if you want to call them that, who get on the show and have a lot of fun, but we're serious about, you know, talking about the importance of the world and the environment and the issues that involve all of us and that kind of affect our everyday lives, but we do it in a way that I think is light. You know, it might, you know, make you scratch your head and provoke some thought. And, you know, what can we do? Can we take some action? And Amanda's, how am I going to take this anymore? What do we do now? We go behind the headlines, but it's not as CNN, as Fox News, as Newsmax, as MSNBC. We're just, who are we? I don't know. I ask myself that. Who am I? I don't know.
we're fun-go-lucky people that enjoy spreading good news and cheer to people now. at least myself. that's why I think this show works, man, because it's like I'd so much rather get my news this way than listen to CNN and look at the bullshit and see the fake news. You know, we are just normal people, and we have news that we're getting from other people just like they are, but we're not, you know, we're on a different level. We're here to make you happy while you're listening to it, and that's why it works.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's interesting. It really, it really does work. I want to, you know, there's some things I want to address, and I want to talk about a little bit, just addressing the what's going on with coronavirus just a little bit, because it's been part of our program and, you know, underlying foundation, just kind of watching what's going on and the progress of the Delta variant, and, you know, 300,000 hospitalizations excuse me, 300,000 new cases over Labor Day weekend, and people not wearing masks and not getting vaccinated, and, you know, but we're all, as Lee just said, we're all drilled to death with this every day. We know. What am I going to come in here and make a news announcement to the 300,000 new cases over Labor Day weekend? Well, tune into any news. Read the paper. What do you need Andy to tell you that for? What am I going to do about it? I mean, I can express my opinion. Do you really care? I think we should all get vaccinated.
I would venture to say that people are fucking tired of listening to that.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, seriously. The people that were hardcore into it, seriously worried about it, at this point, it's just like, okay, I've heard it. There's just nothing that you could say to me at this point that would faze me. We're just like numb over this whole situation. No. It is what it is. And you know what I mean?
But you know,
that's what it is.
It is, and the discussion of the stock market and specifically this AMC squeeze, the mechanics and logistics of this, which has so much potential to change our lives and to grab the conversation and get on board with the conversation, whether you participate or not, whether you just want to learn about it and say, hey, I'm a student, I got, you know, a couple hundred bucks in the bank, or whether you're of high net worth and want to say, hey, you know, I've got stocks. I've got a portfolio. What, I've heard about this AMC thing. GameStop. I heard what, you know, and want to join the conversation. Want to join our party and join our cause. We are just folks, just ordinary people who are taking control away from what you think. You know, how is our lives managed? When it comes right down to it, everything comes down to the dollar. You know, everything comes down to the dollar.
Yeah,
your life, you know, right? So typically, as Lee, as you explained to me early on, and what do I know about this? No, you know, nothing really. is the hedge fund and the Smith Barneys and the Barney Rubbles and the not Barney Rubbles. But isn't he a Flintstone? Barney Rubbles.
who are managing
our lives. You know, via control of the market, via control of, I was a jet pilot, a corporate jet pilot, and we would when we pulled up to the fixed base operations, the big corporate terminals, which are pretty exquisite, and yeah, you wouldn't believe the lounge areas that those places have regular airports. We'd pull up on the ramp coming back from a flight, and we knew how the market was doing based on how many corporate jets were parked on the ramp. Oh, good day in the stock market today. Whoop.
Wow.
You know, we knew. Because the movers and shakers, the people who dictate in one way or another when it comes right on down to the bottom, you know, keep filtering down. It comes down to money, what the market's doing, how much you have to pay for a quart of milk, how much you have to pay for a pair of shoes. You know, that's cut. How much is a mortgage rate today? You know, how much is the lease or the mortgage on whatever, you know, I don't care, whatever you own, your RV, your boat, your plane, whatever it might be. What's the loan rate on that today? You know, how much is it going to cost, you know, for a campsite today and with my tent? You know, it all comes down to how money is affecting our population. And what we are doing in this Ape Nation movement, which maybe we can explain a little bit, this Ape Nation movement is we're taking it back. We're deciding that. We're taking control of it.
Yeah.
And I want to go to Lee now and say, Lee, how are we doing it? How's it happening?
It's going to be the biggest switch in wealth and power and money in the history of the United States here when this whole thing goes down. And I just choose to be on the good side. So it's like, you know, there's always good guys, there's always bad guys. And, you know, if you look at even right now, like in California, you know the struggle. You're out in L.A., how much gas mm-hmm. is. It's like gas is like right. ridiculous right now. You know, you can't find it under $4 anywhere. And you look at, you know, I was just talking to a buddy of mine, and he's mm-hmm. like, tell me how this happened. I went in the subway. You know, I got a $5 foot long, and it cost me $16.75. How does that happen? Well, all this happens because of inflation and because, just like what you're talking about, it's all about the dollar. And, you know, the dollar, in my mind, is in the wrong people's hands, and it has been for a very, 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 very long time. And that's all about the change. And a lot mm-hmm. of that is going to come from this movement, and I'm so happy to be a part of it.
Yeah, it's pretty wonderful. And you know what? Here's the deal. We got, you know, you buy a share of stock. Now let's, you know, nobody's going to be able to. And I know you all know this. This is a lottery ticket play, but with very, very little risk. But I know that you know. Everybody knows that you're not going to be able to buy one share of stock and become a millionaire. That ain't going to happen, right? So, but there's going to be a whole bunch of temptations. And there's also limitations that humans can't stand. Now, let's back that up. And what do I mean by that? When a squeeze happens, there's X amount of shares of AMC that are out there right now. It's about, what is it? I think illegal shares, I think it's about I think there's 513 million legitimately issued shares of AMC, meaning if you took an apple pie and divided it up 513 million times, 513 million slices. They're all actual pieces of that apple pie, right? They're all actual pieces of the pie.
Yep.
Okay, so in addition to that apple pie, there's about 1 billion to 10 billion fake shares of the pie that people buy and sell that aren't actually part of that apple pie that we sliced into the 513 million shares. Okay, so those are
– right.
But you can buy and sell the fake shares of the pie. You're not going to be able to eat it. You'll be able to benefit from it, but you have to pay cash for it. And if you go to sell it, you buy it today, sell it tomorrow, you'll get your cash back and minus your loss or with your gain. But it's actually not a physical part of the pie. But trade it as though it was. That's okay. All right? So what happens is we get the larger institutional investors. What I mean by institutional investors is the big corporations, the big hedge funds, the Goldman Sachs, the folks that are really, as Lee just said, are controlling the market. We don't control them. They do. You think when I go buy a pair of shoes at NTW, no, wait a minute, they sell tires, right? No, NCAA, what am I talking about? Andy, you're doing a real good.
You're on a roll there, buddy.
You think when I go buy a pair of shoes at, well, not the NCAA, what, NS, you know what I mean, National, NS, the big shoe
NSW,
store.
NSW, National Shoe Warehouse.
Yeah, yeah, I'm thinking of tire companies. Yeah, NSW. when I go, I forget what I was saying now. Damn, that wasn't a roll. All right, anyway, so these are the folks that control, for the most part, control the market. Now, what happens is AMC, for, you know, going into COVID and so on, movie theater chain, my God, who's going to do horribly is entertainment venues. I'm a musician. I had a big tour book before COVID. Bam, everything canceled. You know, all the venues I was going to play, shows, right? Uh-oh, what's Andy do? He starts a radio show. Anyway, so what happens is that all these big investors say, well, AMC, it's not the leading movie chain in the United States and plus other locations, is not going to fare out well. And their stock, they bet. They went to the casino and they bought options saying, we're betting that this stock is going to go way, way, way down. And if it hits the number, like going to the roulette wheel at the casino, you bet seven, right? So they bet $7, $6, $5, $4, bankruptcy, $2 a share, whatever it might be. If it hits and they played their game right, boom, they would stand to make a ton of money. I mean, a fortune for all of their client investors, right? So here's
more money than you can even fathom.
Oh, yeah. I mean, approaching trillions. I mean, gigantic, you know. I'd almost say enough to solve the national debt, but not quite. But anyway, but a lot of money. So here's what happens. So then, but they own the market, right? They bet all of their clients' money, not all, but significant funds on AMC not being able to make it. So Lee and I come around, along with 3.2 million other people, and we're not going to let that happen, dudes. As a matter of fact, because you put billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars on the prediction that AMC is going to short or fail, not do well, and you put all your money there, but you didn't pay the full amount. They bought an option. They may have paid, you know, for a share of stock that's $100, they may have paid $4 or $5 for it, or $6, whatever it is, you know. But and if they win, then they get all that money back, right? If they lose, guess what they have to do? They have to pay the bill on that. They have to pay the bill. You can't go to the casino and put your money on black and lose and say, I'm not paying. Sorry, I want my money back. I was kidding. Can you take a joke?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. I didn't mean it. I knew it was going to land on red. I was having fun.
Yep.
So what happens, all of these shares of stock that were bet on black, and it lands on red, right? All these shares that were bet on black, they have to be bought back and closed. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. These counterfeit shares are fake shares. They must be bought back and closed out. Now what happens is who owns all the stock? Who owns all these shares? Who paid for the shares and owns the share, whether it be legitimate or fake? Who owns the shares? We own the shares, right? And if these shares have to be bought back, well, if we don't want to sell it, how are they going to buy it? They can't buy it back unless – because we control how much money we're going to sell you the stock back for. Well, we sell it – yeah, but at our price, not your price. We're going to dictate that. So what happens is if this works – and pretty confident that it will, and the more people who tune into this show and other programs and get on YouTube and read up on this, the more people participate in this, and the more people we're going to, remember, hands across America, we're going to join hands, we're going to join together, and we're going to hold stead, we're going to hold fast, we're not going to sell, however tempting it is, because what's going to happen is they're going to start making offers. They're going to say, hey, we'll drive the stock up a little bit, 400 a share, 500 a share, 600 a share. Don't get scared because they bought it at 20, 30, 50, 60, whatever they bought it at. They see this thing go to 500. Huh, it's human. That's who we are as human beings. Hey, I better sell. $400. I paid $20 a share. Hell yeah, I'm getting out. But what if we don't sell at 400? What happens if we don't sell at 400? It goes to 600. It goes to 750. It goes to 1,000. We still don't sell. What the hell? And they have to buy the shares. It's not like, well, they can just forget, walk away and leave us out. They have to buy the shares. Now, here's what happens. The hedge funds who own all these shares for the most part, that's where the money comes from. If they don't have enough to pay for it, first of all, they'll have to liquidate whatever they have. They have to pay the bill. You can't go to the casino, bet it on black, lose it, and not pay your bill. Your money's gone. They have to pay this bill, right? If they don't, there's a federal mechanism that steps in and makes sure that we get our money for their shares. It's called the DTTC and the SEC. They combine. If one, you know, the money is there. And we're talking about money being in the trillions of dollars. Not billions, but trillions. It's a hell of a lot of money. That supports. It's like in banking, it's like the FDIC, right? So what happens is, if these hedge fund companies can't pay the bill, they'll liquidate and gone, goodbye, feel sorry for them and their investors. Then the Fed step in, the DTT steps in, and they make good on all this. Oh, what are we selling at? 10,000 a share. Shit, that's, oh my God. But here's what, and so what you're going to see during the squeeze, stock prices climb, you know, like a ladder of 200, maybe 220. Then it'll dip down a little bit, you know, 200, go down. Then the next plateau is going to be 280. Then 240, 250. Then 350. And it'll go up like little steps, up, then down a little bit, then up, then down a little bit. What would ruin it for all of us if a lot of people started selling early on, 400, 600, 700, and boom. Because what happens is when all of these shares that are outstanding are covered, that's the end of it. The squeeze is over. And you can still buy AMC and do it for the long term, you know, bet, you know, $4, $5 a share and say, hey, to 10, I'm in this for a few years. The entertainment business is going to be good. You know, like you would a normal stock. You say, you know, there are people who get into it for the short gain and people who are into certain stocks for the long haul. And you can play that game with AMC after the squeeze, because once the squeeze is over, it's over. And how do we know it's over? When all of the covered shares are covered, all those outstanding shares are covered, they're all gone. So here's what happens. As the prices go up, the short hedge funds that are sold these fake shares short will get margin called. Some will not be able to meet their margin requirements, as I just said, and they'll be liquidated. Then their broker or the DTCC or eventually the feds will step in and automatically buy the shares they had sold short at whatever price the shares are available at. The entire thesis is based on one fact. After the shares get liquidated, the shares of AMC, they're sold, they must be bought back at whatever price. That is a fact. That's reality. That's not a myth. That's not maybe. It's a fact. Brings us to a very critical reality that no one can deny. No one can deny this. The entire reason for this and the entire massive increase in AMC stock price is the buying of the shares that were sold short. And after all these hedge funds get liquidated and after everything goes away and you know, we're going to get the asking price for our shares. And that's going to happen. They're saying
I'm so proud of you, Andy. I'm not gonna lie, I'm a proud daddy right now. You nailed that.
So
that's exactly what's going down.
And after the last short share, see that three times real fast, is bought back by the DTC, the prime brokers, and the Fed, there will not be any more buying pressure. It's all done. Zero pressure, none. So after every short share is bought back and closed, there'll be no one. Would you spend $10,000 for a share of AMC? Hell no. Who would do that?
No.
Who would do that? No, right?
The people that have to do that. That's the best part.
Exactly.
The computer that automatically buys it just because it has to.
Right. So if this, in theory, this could hit. This could hit 10,000, 20,000. If everybody holds onto their shares and nobody sells their stock, this thing could hit this is the absolute truth, folks. I'm not making this up. This could hit $50,000, $100,000 a share, but it ain't going to happen because the human being, our people, our psyche, our psychology won't wait that long to sell it.
There's a large group of people that are holding for $500,000 a share.
Woo! Well, I'm going to join them. I'm right there. But here's what'll typically happen, and here's the real world of it, right? When this thing starts creeping up, and let's talk about this too. When the stock starts creeping up like steps, you know, up, plateaus a little bit, up, plateaus a little bit. And we're seeing that now, but this isn't the squeeze, but it's kind of a great time to get in. But anyway, we're seeing that now. This is not the squeeze, though. The stock's going to creep up, and let's fast forward. Okay, we're now in the $750 to $1,200 range, and people who own a shitload, excuse the French, of stock, and they bought it at it went down to $29 in early August, and they bought it at $29,
yeah.
And they bought a lot of it, and they can now get $1,200 a share. I'm good. I'm out now because, you know, if it goes up, so be it. I've made, where's my yacht? You know, I'm good. You know, I take cash from my kids' college now. Boom, I'm done. I'm out of debt. I'm going to pay my house off. I'm done. You know, wow, I got a lot of money back now. Okay, so they're gonna do it because they're gonna say, you know what? If it goes up, whatever, I'm good. You know, it's okay. I'd rather get out now, and that'll happen at every step of the way, all the way up to its peak. And when will it hit a peak? It won't hit a peak. It'll continue to go until a significant players, retail investors, Ape Nation, exit. Boom. Then it'll start coming down. And it won't do that until that occurs. If a few people sell on the way up, it'll, you know, a few thousand, 10,000, you know, I'll sell it at 750, I'm going to sell it at 2,000, I'll sell it at 2,500. So, but it's still going to go up. It's a great big, and nobody's going to sell. Here's what's going to happen. Nobody is going to sell all their stock at the same exact second on the same exact day, in which case it would drop like an elevator straight down. That ain't going to happen. Right, so you're going to see these steps going up, or it's going to plateau, and you go up and up and up, and then bam, this big play is going to come in when it hits this amazing number, and then as Lee just said, these you know, a significant population of people are holding to the 500,000, unless people bail out before that and they say, okay, they might not hit that 500,000, it might, but it could, in theory it could. So, what's going to happen then is the stock's going to start coming down, not like an elevator, but steps. Right. So the question becomes, what is the, as an investor in AMC, and I'm going to play the game, I'm going to dive into this short squeeze. When would be the ideal time for me to step into this? When should I get in now, folks? Right now. I mean, get off the show, open a Fidelity account, another one, tune us out of here and go buy the stock right now. You can listen to the podcast later. Okay. So, here's what's happening. There's going to be a buyback, obviously, of the shares that are sold short, as we said. And as the apes, and I'll have Lee discuss what do you mean apes, you know, refuse to sell their shares and they hold them, the price keeps going up, right? Well, all the fake shares have to be bought back. Apes are not selling the shares. They hold until the price, you know, hits that magic number. And, you know, some people can hold out till it hits $1 million a share. I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
In theory, it's possible.
I'm sure somebody will.
I'm sure. Will they hit that or not? If we all hold on, as the temptation and the resistance is going to be incredible, we got to hold hands, stay together, and not sell. If we all do that, no matter how tempting, oh, my God, it's $3,000 a share. I paid $29 a share, $3,000. Andy, are you kidding me? I'm out of here. No. No, don't believe me. Hold hands, join our team. We're gonna win the Super Bowl here. We're gonna win this thing, big time. You want to buy a football team? Here's how you do it.
Right.
So,
we're not betting. You don't have to bet on any teams anymore, man. You can just own one. Hold on to it.
Because we can't. Now, in reality, we can't control what people do. we obviously can't get, we can't tell somebody not, you know, somebody's going to sell their shares at $5,000 a share, and it could, that could make them a millionaire. You know, they will sell. They will. You know, say, hell, I'm good. I don't need to be a multi-millionaire. I just want a millionaire is good for me. I'm out of here. And they'll sell. I'm not, you know, it could go down tomorrow. I'm not going to, you know, could, but it won't. Anyway, so if we all hold hands and we hold out until the buy pressure drops, you know, this thing's going to start coming down. There's some people that say, hold on, don't sell anything till you get to the top, and we'll know when the top is, because then we'll start seeing it coming down. And not like an elevator, but like in steps, like it went up. It'll, you know, down, then down, then down, then down. And there's some people say, you know what? I'm just going to hold on and see where this thing lands. And then, you know, as it comes down, I'll sell, you know, okay, all right. It landed, it's $800,000 a share. And then we start seeing it creep on down. And you know what? I'm going to sell, okay, 700, 600. I'll sell there. I'm good. 650 a share. I paid $29. I'm selling. I got several thousand shares that I bought at $29 each. And now they're at 650,000 each. Okay, let's be conservative. They're at 6,500 each. I mean, that's way low. I'm just being super, super, super conservative, right? It's going to, you know, but just for point of illustration. So as it comes down, I paid $29. It hit 8,000. Now it's coming on down. It's at 6,500. Okay, I sold it at 8,000. Should have sold. I didn't. I'm still good at 6,500. So there's a theory that says just wait till it, just hold, just don't sell anything. I think the smartest thing to do, and this is just Andy, the inexperienced novice, you know, person in this whole game, says do this. As it goes up, just sell incrementally, very, very, very slight, very small pieces, a couple percent here.
Good idea.
Couple percent there, couple percent there, and just watch it go, right? Because when you sell at 6,000 and it climbs to 8,000, the money that you could have made by holding on that stock that you shouldn't have sold at 6 because it went to 8 will be recouped when it goes to 8. So you're getting your money back. Don't worry about it if you own enough stock, that is, if you own enough of it, right? So just hold on to it. Sell a little bit on the way up. It's going to peak. If you can catch it, blast. If not, then same thing on the way down. Sell it incrementally. See what happens. See what happens. Because, you know, it could go from 7,500 to 7,000. Oh, back to 7,025. Whoa, to 6,075. Oh, back up to 7. You know, like there's a little step, little peaks and valleys on the way down. It ain't going to come down like a lead balloon.
So this is a perfect time to get into this conversation is exit strategy. And
yes.
I believe we have on the line with us, I think he called in, Andy?
Yes, we're right with him right now.
My mastermind accountant. And, if he's on, I'd like to welcome him to the show. And, let's talk exit strategy.
He's here.
Hi, Andy. Hi, Lee. This is Chris Rajabedian.
Chris, thanks
How's
for
going,
joining
buddy?
The show.
Good, good. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you here.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I had so many questions that were brought up from a tax standpoint regarding stock market plays, capital gains in general, strategies, investments, loopholes that we were not obviously qualified to answer. And we kept saying, we need to get an accountant on the show. We need an accountant on the show. Because what – and I even wonder that. I'm like, you know, I was addressing with Lee. I think the capital gains rate is 48%, I think, something like that. Right around there?
Well, when it comes to capital gains, you have two kinds of capital gains. You obviously have the short term and then the long term. Which short term, that qualifies on anything you sell that you held less than a year. And in that case, it basically goes to your ordinary tax range. So if you happen to be in let's say the 37% tax bracket, then that would be your short term capital gain. If you hold on to an asset for a year or longer, which it seems to be the case in the situation that, you know, we're playing out here, then there are three different tiers, and it's either 0%, 15%, or 20%. And that all depends on what your total income is in the year of the sale. So it's not as high as, 48%. It's actually a lot lower.
Oh.
Capital gains the reason why they're lower than the ordinary tax rate is because there is an encouragement to hold on to the assets. I mean, the backstory is to basically pump money into the system, the financial system. So the lower tax rates kind of encourage that kind of behavior.
I like that, because I was talking to Lee, I guess, last week or week before, and I said, you know, it's, you know, I thought the cap, you know, see, I'm glad we have you on the show, because I'm taking the capital gains rate percent of what you make, and I'm like, yeah, so you put all the skin in the game. The government doesn't put any skin in the game. If you lose it, you lose 100%, but if you make anything, they get half. That sounds like the mafia. You know, I'm like, what? What?
Yeah, yeah, and, you know, if you do hold on to them less than a year, then it's, that, you know, that's why they punish you, essentially. It's they tax you at your full ordinary tax rate if you hold on to it less than a year, because that's not benefiting the system in their eyes. You're just, you know, putting money in to make a quick profit, and that's where, you know, day trading comes in. Those guys,
yeah,
they're so profitable on a daily basis, they could afford the higher tax rates.
Well, let me ask you this, and this is a question. Let's say I have this, you know, Kimball Media Group is this. I have a business. I have another business in the boat industry, and you know, different companies that I manage. And here's the, and I'm a musician. I've got a music business. So here's the question I have. Let's say I make, you know, just for point of illustration, I make $1,000 on the stock. You know, I bet on a stock. I made $1,000, and or $10,000. I guess realistically, let's say I make $100,000, and I sell it. Can I, instead of saying, okay, here's my capital gains, here, government, here's the money, can I turn around and take that capital gain and reinvest it in something else, like an LLC, a piece of capital equipment for my business, or something else that would act as a protected, so I don't have to pay that tax rate on capital gains? Can I turn around and reinvest it?
As much as I would like to say yes, unfortunately, they don't allow you to do that. So if you do take the funds, sole funds, I mean, you have to pay the tax on it first, and then, you know, you could invest the after tax funds into it. Unfortunately.
So Chris, let me ask you, if let's say this squeeze happens, I sell my AMC, but I leave my money in my brokerage. So my brokerage is Fidelity. Let's say that I don't cash out until a year. 1 year since I put my money in, does that keep me from, you know, paying that large capital gains tax? Or as soon as I cash out the stock, that's what I have to pay on?
So the tax, it's a good question. The taxable activity occurs when the stock is sold, not when you withdraw the funds.
Okay.
So let's say you buy Fidelity and you sold 9 months later, but you withdrew the funds another 6 months after that. For tax purposes, the nine-month period is what is being taken into consideration. It would be considered short-term. So you have to buy and hold for at least a year, if not longer, in order to get that long-term capital gain treatment.
Damn it, they thought of everything.
Yes, they did. Look, if you put the entire tax code on paper, that thing is probably longer than a mile long. And yes, that's because they thought about literally everything. There are some, you know, strategies and, like, you know, good tax planning that you can take. You know, that could obviously result in favorable tax treatments, but for the purpose of this conversation, yeah, these are pretty much the rules. But I would say, in order to minimize the tax as much as possible, definitely try to aim to hold on at least a year, if not longer.
So we want the squeeze to play out over a year, so we don't have to pay all that. Really, because that's what all these people are holding AMC for.
Correct. And, you know, another point that Andy mentioned that I would like to just touch up on a little bit more is it's really hard to time the market. When is the peak going to happen? And then, you know, do you want to sell everything all at once? Because, again, the minute you sell, you just create a taxable event. Whereas, you know, a lot of more savvy investors would dollar cost average out of the market. So let's say, you know, year two, you decide to sell 20% of your position because, you know, the stock price has gone quite up. So you collect some profits, you have a win there, you pay tax on a portion of it, right? And then let's say, you know, you anticipate this going up further. So year three, you sell another portion. So what you're doing essentially is, you know, you're not risking what is essentially considered opportunity costs. You're not risking any missed out future profits, but all, you're also paying tax on just a portion of your investment. So that's another kind of a win-win situation where essentially maximize on your profits and also not just be met with this huge, huge tax burden all of a sudden.
So tell me about yourself, and you have a whole accounting group that you're doing. Tell me a little bit about yourself and your background.
Sure. I'm a tax accountant. I'm an enrolled agent, so I'm licensed by the IRS, not to be mistaken for working with the IRS, just licensed by them. And what that allows me to do is
he's not the enemy, folks.
I am not the IRS. I just have the same license as an agent, so to speak. But what that basically enables me to do is practice in any of the 50 states and all the U.S. territories as a tax practitioner. We have a accounting group. Right now we're a team of, I'd say, about four people now. We're based in Woodland Hills, our office, but we have clients in California, New York, and Florida are the biggest states. And, we specialize in certain industries like finance, the medical, restaurant, auto, a few different expertise. Me personally, I start off my career at Pricewaterhouse, which is one of the big four accounting firms in the country. And then I've worked on some national firms and trickled down to some local firms and started my practice about 3 years ago. I do have a personal interest in investing quite a bit. I've kind of geared out of the stock market a little bit. I do still have some investments, but I'm more in the cryptocurrency world. We don't need to necessarily get there for this conversation because I guess we're talking about AMC.
Yeah, for the most part, sure.
Yeah, and you know, this is one of the big reasons why, you know, I wanted to have you on, Chris, is because, you know, all of the listeners, everybody that's listening, you know, I assume at this point is holding AMC or about to buy AMC is going to, you know, have a need for an accountant after this. And, you know, Chris has been my personal accountant since 2016, has handled all my affairs. And, you know, he's going to be handling the after effects of this squeeze. So I brought him on. If anybody wants to contact him, you know, as far as what to do with your money afterwards, we'll dive right into getting back into so what do you think we should do with, you know, the money afterwards? What's the most important thing, you know, as of right now? Let's say I cash out. We all cash out. You know, we make $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 a share, whatever the number is. What's the best thing to do with our money afterwards? Protect it and, you know, maybe reinvest it or, you know, just in a whole, what would you suggest?
So if we're referring to other investment tools, this first and foremost, I just want to disclose, this is just my opinion. It's not financial advice. It's always good to speak to an actual licensed financial advisor. But just from my perspective, my knowledge and my background, it all depends on each individual's risk appetite. For instance, what is risk appetite? It's basically the amount of risk you're willing to accept. For instance, someone on the, you know, the lower side of the spectrum in a younger age group could generally afford a little bit more risk, invest in, you know, high-performing yet high-risk stocks or something along the lines of cryptocurrency or, you know, investing in a new small business ventures that they have high risk, but they also have the possibility of higher reward. For someone that's kind of closer to the age of retirement, let's say, you know, you don't have that time and the ability to take on so much risk, so something along the lines of, let's say, treasury bills or mutual funds, municipal bonds, even long-term real estate holding, those are more, you know, relatively safe. They have lower risk, slightly lower, you know, reward, but at least you have some stability. So it really depends on the age group and demographics. It could be different for everybody. It could be a combination. You just kind of have to speak with your professional and assess what is the right fit, the right blend for you.
Oh, yeah, and you and I are definitely going to have that conversation.
Of course.
Off of here, but
Yeah, it's something we talk about, this AMC deal. And you know, I wanted to, Lee introduced me to this whole, I didn't have any stocks in anything. I sold my real estate back east, and all my money is in bank accounts doing nothing. So Lee said, Lee came on the show, started talking about AMC. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? Squeeze? What's a stock squeeze? And here we are. You know, it's amazing. But AMC has the potential to do, really. All other investments don't have, in terms of investments, they don't have the potential to do. And it's very simple. It comes down to the fact that there is short interest in excess of many other stocks. But that's quite normal. People, you know, the big hedge funds, right? They buy short, they buy long, they go in the casino. They bet, is this going to happen? Is this not going to happen? Or they buy market and they say, I'm buying this stock today, and if it makes money tomorrow, great. Stocks are shorted all the time by hedge funds, short shares, and they do it in quantities in excess of what they're shorting AMC right now. But here's the deal, folks. Again, I want to drive this home versus other stocks. What these other players don't have is you and I and Lee and everybody else, all of us, right? They don't have us.
They don't have the apes.
They don't have the community surrounding it, willing to hold the stock, willing to talk about it daily, willing to just dive into it and understand that this is not some sort of typical investment. It is not. This is a movement. It's a movement. It's not like, well, I'm not going to invest in the stock market. Oh, I don't know, Tesla, this, that. Forget all that. And this whole AMC conversation is becoming a way of life for all of us.
It really is.
I wake up every day. I spend all day. I go to bed at night. I think I was kidding around with you. I think I was texting or something. I get up. I'm from the East Coast, you know, but I'm, you know, been here 6 years, whatever now. I get up at 5:30 in the morning, Lee. And I don't go to bed till the wee hours. So for me, right, I have my coffee. I have my little bell. And when the stock market bell goes off, my bell goes off, and I'm walking around my apartment, buy, sell, buy, no. but I start reading the news. I start looking. I'm holding the ticker.
When you texted me that, I thought it was like the plot for a movie or something. I didn't realize that was your real life.
what are you talking
about 5:30 in the morning?
Because
this has become a way of life, and it's so hard to look away, and sometimes that's the best for your mental is to just look away from it, let it do what it's going to do. But it's so hard because all the news, everything is all leading up to this, and this is just, it's just going to be massive, and there's not going to be a person on the face of this planet that isn't going to hear about the AMC squeeze and how all these people made this money, and they can spin it however they want. You know, of course they're going to spin it, you know, all the meme stock and, you know, the apes, and they don't know what they're doing, and they crash the economy. You guys crashed the economy. We just cashed in on it is what the deal is.
Yeah. If you don't think about AMC daily, then you haven't been here very long. There's going to be points in time where AMC is on your mind at least once a day, or perhaps all day. If you're not in this AMC community, and there's what separates this community from the rest. You know, there's, you know, but there's about 110 million shares that are sold short on AMC right now. About 110 million shares, and
yeah,
a lot of folks
ridiculous.
Out there. I think I think it's a little more than that actually now. I think, you know, I think somewhere in there. But anyway, so you know, 110 million. That's a huge number. But so let's talk about this. And you guys might even know, I'm sure you do, because I know nothing. what is the risk? And there's what could prevent the squeeze from happening? And all of this huge amount of money that everybody is taking out of their bank accounts, whatever, and bought this AMC. Maybe that's the only stock they have, which I don't advise doing. But anyway, maybe the only stock they have. What could prevent this from happening? What could say?
Chris, I'm interested to hear your take on it.
Yeah.
In terms of what could prevent from the AMC stock
squeeze.
To soar?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, the squeeze.
Well, I don't mean to dive in the realm of conspiracy theories, but
no,
the
but
stock
I want to hear every single thing that there is.
It is, of course, it is well known that, you know, there is quite a bit of stock market manipulation, And you have these
oh, yeah.
huge, huge institutional investors, even individuals called whales, because when they make a move, they displace a lot of they have a lot of effect on the market. So I would say, you know, if you had a hypothetical instance of a whale, so to speak, seeing that, you know, a lot of people are banking on the market going up, well, they're going to bet opposite to that belief, and they would try to short the market. And,
right?
You know,
exactly
you think that,
doing.
You know, it may be just one or two parties involved, but they have so much money that, you know, that's all that's needed sometimes. And they basically could short a lot of people out of the market. So, for instance, you know, we have a situation where a lot of, you know, people are invested in AMC stock right now, and I'm sure some of the more savvy investors might even have leverage positions. So what that is basically is they'll borrow 2, 3, 4, or 5 times the capital that they have in their accounts to be able to buy more shares on loan, basically. The problem with that kind
right.
of investment is if the stock goes down just a little bit, they could be forced or sold out of their positions completely. And what that does to the stock price is it makes it go down a lot faster. I mean, you see that happening
right.
in the cryptocurrency world.
Oh, yeah. We just went through it. We just went
yeah.
through them doing a whole lot of that.
Exactly. And, you know, I mean, that's probably one of the biggest I see. But the good thing is usually with these kind of plays, they're temporary eventually. If, you know,
yeah.
The fundamentals are there, the prices will rebound and they'll go where they should. The other good thing is, you know, with whales is as you have the bearish investors, you also have the bullish investors, you know, the rich people
yeah,
that also want
we
the
have
AMC
a boatload of right now.
Go,
they're all
exactly.
piling on.
Exactly. Yeah, but I mean, fundamentally speaking, you always have to look at the long-term viability, you know, if the project
right.
is good, if the people behind it are good, go for the long term.
Yeah.
Well,
and
I mean,
guess,
I think that's what a lot of you know us apes are doing as well. So Andy, I don't think I've said this to you before, but you know this isn't just a you know we're gonna squeeze we get out and that's it. I mean I would say a vast majority of us are hanging on to some AMC shares, you know, and are actually you know in this company. I mean they're making big moves, they're profitable. I mean they're just making great decisions fundamentally. On its own without the squeeze. So, you know, I would encourage people to stay in because I think it's a great stock on top of what's going on right now.
But if I may add one more thing,
mm-hmm.
by all means,
sure.
Joe, it is very important to take profits along the way.
Absolutely.
hold on to it. Don't ever revisit it. You know, if you have, and I heard this being mentioned before, if you invested, you know, $100 and you have 10x your money, by all means, that would be a good opportunity to take some profits off the table. Doesn't mean you have to sell everything. Just take, you know, at least take your investment back for starters. And then you could let the rest of it ride and kind of decide when is the best time for you to exit the market. Thing about markets is there's always an entry point. There's always an exit point. That will never change.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
That's what we're talking about. That's what we were talking about early on about, you know, selling as this thing's climbing up. You know, take a couple percent here, a couple percent there. Take your money back, and it's interesting because I went ahead and in addition to AMC, I went ahead and purchased some GameStop. I own a Tesla. I bought Tesla, of course, and a bunch of other companies I've never heard of. And I also bought the NIO, which is the Chinese equivalent to Tesla. Upon reading the news that China is very angry with the United States in terms of some business logistics that are happening now, and also very mad at Elon Musk for opening these great big gigafactories in this big Tesla production factory, an American company. So China came along and said, no government employee, because they can do this, no government employee can own a Tesla. You cannot work for the government and own a Tesla. You can, however, own a NIO, which is the equivalent of a Tesla in China, built in China, you know, the company that all the Tesla self-driving technologies, all the cameras and all the computer technologies, the company that was on board with Tesla initially. They left Tesla after the Tesla had that fatal accident in 2016, and they joined NIO. They went over to NIO. And so I'm reading up about this company, and I'm thinking, you know, You know, Tesla stock is, I think right now, I bought it at less than 700. It's 754 now. NIO is $38. I'm like, you know what? Well, you know, what the hell?
There you go. I'm going to look into it now.
NIO. And also, of course, I got some GameStop. And also, there's this company that's with the medical technology, very similar to the biophysiological process that is used to combat COVID via the vaccine. They're looking at very similar mRNA combatants to the disease of cancer, and they're doing this very successfully. And you read about them, and you can look them up and see what they're doing and see who's on their board and see what their advancements are. $26 a share. Bam, I'm in. You know, BBIG also set up for a short, a small squeeze. I'm in. Also, there's a company like Amazon in China. It's called Alibaba. A lot of you may have heard of Alibaba. I'm like, you know what?
Oh, yeah.
You know, hell, I looked at the website. It's like Amazon. It's in China, you know, but they sell like Amazon. I'm like, there are a lot of people live in China. Anyway, so and there's some others too, but I went ahead and plunked a majority, a large majority of my money, of my stock investment money, into AMC. And here's what also is kind of interesting. I figured, you know what? I'm going to spread some other monies to other stocks. And I am a not an experienced, not informed investor. I am coming to this a week. I've done this about less than a month, right? About a month, right? And here's
you've
what
grown
I've been
in
able
so
to do,
much, Andy.
And here's what I've been able to do. I take some stocks, knowing that some of them are going to come down a little bit, and I'm monitoring. I'm literally having my coffee, and I'm by the computer all day practically. I feel like, hey, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but what I look at is the stocks that are coming down. I make up for the investments that I made that are going up. So even though the stocks are going down a little bit, I more than make up for it by the stocks that I own that are going up, knowing that the stocks are – you never know anything. I shouldn't say knowing. That's the wrong word. Having a feel, an intuition from gaining knowledge, from being educated, and also from gut, that the stocks are going to creep up, those ones that are losing now. It's okay. So all in all, looking long term, like we were talking earlier, it's going to be okay, you know, and I'll make whatever. And where else can you make – Lee, at one time I was up 30-some percent. I think I'm up, you know, after spreading everything around, I'm still up like 18 or 19 percent on my money. Where are you going to make that kind of return? On what? You know, what are you going to make 18, 19
percent? I'm at like 390 percent right now. It's a good time to be in it.
I mean, long-term investment
strategy. Have you heard of this? Have you heard of AMC and all this that's going on before I reached out?
Of course, I invested in AMC.
Oh, see, I am, of course.
I was witnessing the whole GameStop, AMC, skyrocketing. I was part of the Reddit group.
Wow.
Oh, good. We got a fellow right here.
Man. Yeah, it's,
it was remarkable.
Yeah.
It's very, very, very cool, very significant. I might also add that Adam Aaron, who is the chairman of the board of AMC and also leader holding a couple other companies, he's with United Airlines. The guy's got an amazing background. He went to school with my business partner's brother, who knows him, Abington High School, right outside of Philadelphia. Yeah, and so he knows him. I'm like, you do? So I sent him an email today. I said, yo, dude.
Oh, hell yeah. Let's get him on the show.
Let's get him on the show.
We'll have to clean up our act a little bit, but hey.
Yeah, he went to school as a friend, an acquaintance of my business partner, her brother, a class ahead of my business partner, Joanna. But he knows him. I'm like, whoa. You know, he left Abington High School, went to Harvard, blah, blah, blah. But that was kind of cool when I was talking to her this morning because I sent her an invite to open a Fidelity account, you know, thinking in her best interest you might want to join this thing. Let me ask you a question, Chris. Do you have any – there's no way. Nobody's a soothsayer. Nobody has a crystal ball. Is this something – is this squeeze thing just based on what we know and that's all we can say – going to happen anytime soon, or are you going to hold that for a really long time before it happens? What do you say?
any that is really, really hard to say. I mean, some of the most sophisticated daily active investors, you know, they make predictions and even they turn out to be wrong. It's really, really hard to predict that, especially in a manipulated market.
Yeah, it's so hard.
I wish
and
I
we
knew.
Look,
if I had a crystal ball, I'd be making different decisions right now.
Yeah, well, sure. And some people say, and let's look at AMC as a business is, well, there's two ways to look at this. AMC has a $25 billion debt. Right, their actual in terms of their if this were not the squeeze thing and all these companies bought short and everything, their stock would be down single digits right now, right? 20. But we have to look at
for
that.
Sure.
We have right, and we have to look at that debt because about $6 billion of it is really cost of goods. There's cost of leases, cost of operating expenses, cost of what they need to do. And you, Chris, being from what you do on an accounting standpoint, can break that down in terms of their spreadsheets and everything out. It's not truly a $25 billion debt, but it's definitely in the billions. So what did they do? They reached into their pockets and they took $25 million and facing significant debt and did something innovative, something no other movie chain has ever done in the world. And that is spend $25 million on a television campaign that's going to break soon featuring Nicole Kidman. Nicole Kidman
yeah,
is so excited
just happened.
About this. Right, just happened. And I saw a preview of this commercial yesterday. And what is so interesting about this is that Nicole Kidman sold this script, and they went out to the top talent agencies in the country, and they said, we want your talent. And they got some male and female, and Nicole Kidman said yes, and they jumped on it. Nicole Kidman sold the script and said, we can do better. This guy's better than this. So Nicole Kidman went out and brought in a writer. Nicole Kidman went out and bought a better director and put together seven amazing commercials, which we're all going to see soon on television.
Whoa! I didn't know that.
Yeah, now here's the other interesting thing, only on the Andy Demando show. Here's the other interesting aspect, right, that Adam Aaron had a conversation with GameStop. And I'm going to stop. That's what I want to say.
Yes, sir. Yeah, they're not saying much. They're not saying much, and they're not saying much on purpose. So, like, I don't know if you heard the GameStop's quarterly earning report that they just did. You know, it was like light years away from what AMC's was. AMC was like at least an hour long. I mean, I was listening to that thing forever, and it was like GameStop was like, here's what we made, here's what we did. They're not saying anything of what they plan to do. Like, they got something brewing back there that they're not showing their hand to. And seriously, NFTs, if they do NFTs and dividends, man, I mean, it's just going to trigger it automatically. So they haven't said yet. But now that AMC and GameStop are in, you know, negotiations, I'm assuming, because he wouldn't have even said it. Adam wouldn't have even brought it up if something wasn't happening. You know what I mean? So he wouldn't have even said it. So something's right. going on behind the scenes that we don't know, and that's great news for all of us for sure.
Yeah, and even in terms of long term and what that would – and we can all – this is all hypothetical. This we could be on the totally on the wrong racetrack here. This could not – you know, they could have just reached out to have a cup of coffee together. I mean, who knows, right? But if Adam went as far as to say publicly on the news, on Fox
publicly,
News,
yeah.
that he reached out and had a conversation with GameStop, bam. I mean, that okay? Why would you know? I'm sure it wasn't
the
just
only reason you're saying that publicly
game.
Is to say, hey, right. I can't show you what I'm doing, but I'm doing it. That's the reason I speculate from it.
Yeah. So I after I saw that, I went, you know, boom, I bought more AMC pretty quick. and GameStop. AMC right now, let's see where we're at right now. We should talk about that. Even though most of our audience are, we're 23 countries around the world. Some new countries joining us in South America and some new in Africa. As of the past week, but for those of you, majority of our audience is in North America, and some in the UK, of course. And Mexico's strong, but Germany's strong. I can go on this map, but anyway. So let's just go over some of these prices real quick. We can go over a GameStop's at 193.3, AMC is 51.13, and holding thereabouts, right around 51. 52.
So they closed. They closed.
Yeah.
51.93. They closed.
Yeah, 51.13. Yeah.
Oh,
51.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good way to close out a Friday.
It is. It is. And Alibaba posted, for those of you, is Alibaba's looking good. And especially I like it because, and again, we can't give advice on the show and make that very clear. We're not financial advisors. We're not stockbrokers. We're nothing. We're just retail investors. That's all we are. But I like Alibaba because it's the Chinese Amazon and Christmas is a few months away and people start shopping. And I'm sure that that's going to mean something. It's got to mean something. And for, you know, I think it's $168 a share now. It's probably worth something. Anything, you know, it's worth, you know what the heck.
Right.
If it buys you a couple beers, you know, but being, you know, facetious, but really, if it, it's probably worth something. You know what else I like? I'll tell you what else I like. The I'm a former pilot, and the airlines have always been a bad bet for the most part. Airlines, oh, man. They always live down that $4, $7, $8 range. Southwest is doing real well. JetBlue, who my whole social life is JetBlue pilots, and they get a discount. But anyway, JetBlue is a fabulous airline. I'm just talking about a, you know, as a buddy to some a lot of pilots who fly them, and I fly them because I get buddy passes. But also, they're just doing a great job, and they're offering service to London right now. And a lot of people don't know this, but JetBlue is going to start flying to Hawaii on A321. So knowing that information, I went ahead and bought some JetBlue. It was at 15 something. It's at 14. So I'm down $1.80 a share or something, and I bought some JetBlue. But here's what's going to happen in the airline industry. The Delta variant of Corona is causing about a 30% decline in airline reservations right now. About.
Mm.
Yeah, and so you look, and like Americans looking bad. Delta's looking bad. Southwest hanging in, but they're not going to be. So a 30% decline. And the airlines, the operating cost of an airline is humongous. And, you know, you're looking at
yeah.
Even the
last
salaries.
Time, Spirit was doing really well in the market.
Yeah, yeah. Spirit's
somehow
doing
Spirit's
well.
Doing it.
Spirit is doing real well, and their route structure is seeing like it's incredible. But here's what I like, and I can't tell anybody what to do, obviously. But I like the JetBlues. I like the Southwest. I like the Spirits, and not for to get in today and get out next week, but overall. You're going to make some money, I think, on these champion airlines. Such a phenomenal, exquisite job in managing their staff, their equipment, their routes. They've really been very efficient, and it's something to get in. You know, if it goes down a few bucks, goes up a few bucks, and these are companies that are going to be there in the long haul. It's like you buy a house and you don't buy a house to sell it tomorrow unless you're in the house flipping business. But it's like doing that kind of deal. And we were talking about that earlier with also the capital gains. And Chris is talking earlier about the long term. You hold on to something, you have a better tax advantage also by getting to some of these stocks on the long haul versus getting today, getting out tomorrow where you're going to be slapped with the tax bill. But anyway, this AMC venture is, I don't know if it's good or bad, but it's just captured my life. My wife is going, what are you doing over there? I'm like, I know she's doing her work. She's a university professor doing a lot of work from home. And I go into her office. So I'm like, it just went up $3. It went up $3. What the? Hey, I made $200 on this. I made, what are you doing?
Chris knows the struggle. If you're part of the Reddit crowd, the struggle is real from the beginning, bro.
Yeah, of course. Look, in life, we're the schooling system, not to get into that, but we're all kind of trained and developed to think of the certain steps that, you know, one has to take in life. Go to school, get a degree, get a job, you know, save for retirement, 401k, and, you know, it's like the same cycle for everybody. And
there's
nothing necessarily wrong with that for some people, but, you know, if you want to do a little bit more and kind of open your eyes and see what is a 1% doing, for instance, it's not that. That I could tell you. And that's why it's important to think of these things and to have these conversations and to talk about, these topics with people with similar interests, because thinking outside the box is what's going to help you get there, essentially. You know, there is no reward without risk. So
there's not.
You just have to keep that in mind.
And you got to think, a company, a big steak sandwich chain, makes their money by selling stock, not steak. They sell steak. They got to have a good quality. They got to have people come to the door or they're not in business. But put that aside. Yeah, they got to focus on the business. They got to have a good product. They got to have good competitive prices, blah, blah, blah. But put that aside. gain in worth, in corporate worth, is by selling stock, not stake. It's all about answering to their investors. And what this AMC mechanism that we're participating in is teaching us all that we can, in our own way, to whatever extent we can play the game, whatever extent we can do the same thing as the stake chain selling stock and making corporate net worth by the stock market, investing in buying companies, investing in the companies outside of their own. We, as retail individual investors, can do that in our own lives. We can make a difference. We make a difference in our own lives. Guess what we also do? We make a difference in the lives of other people. And isn't that really what this is all about? You know, I look at, you know, yeah. How can I benefit other people in a positive way? How can I benefit my community? How can I benefit the economy? I can make more money and I can buy things. I want to buy another guitar. Somebody's got to build that guitar. I need the money to make it. If I'm buying more guitars, they got to hire the people to build them. And the only way I can buy that guitar is if I make more money, right? And if I get my paycheck and here's what I do, and I make tuition and my mortgage and my thing, and then I retire and my 401k. I decided a long time ago, a real long time ago, maybe before I went to college, and I went to an aviation university, became at a young age, bam, you know, so I wanted to do it. But I decided this, that the concept of having to work for a living doesn't sound very appetizing to me. Why would somebody want to? I got to work, huh? Why would you want to? You know, I want to do something that isn't work to me. It's not work to me. I want to wake every day and get paid to be Andy. How do you do that? Not that you have to be Andy. I'm talking to me. I want to be.
I want to get paid and be like Lee. That's good with me.
So even millions
would agree with us.
Yeah, so even if you have that paycheck job, and most do, I mean, whatever it is that you do, however it is, if you own your own business, whatever it is, and you're encompassed by that business, I'm not going to use the word slave to that business, but you're encompassed by that business, there's a certain fraction of your life, there's something you might be able to do, there's a certain amount of risk you can take that will create an amazing amount of, first of all, pleasure for you and your family and your life and your social, your whole environment, and also benefit others by you making that breakthrough, by you making that change, by you saying, you know what, I'm going to go to the end of the diving board, and guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to dive off. And watch what other breakthroughs happen in your life by making that one breakthrough. Watch what occurs. It's not just that one thing that's going to occur. Other things are going to start happening. And watch it. And
this is going to open up all kinds of deals, all kinds of doors for all types of people, all walks of life that are in on this. If you got, if we got 3.2 million apes out there, you know, and growing, I'm for sure. You got all different kinds of walks of life. You got people that want to be politicians that, you know, that can make the changes that, you know, get these corporate assholes out of here and have the money to do it. You know what I mean? So you've just got a whole new generation of money that's, in my opinion, is just going to change the way that this whole deal works. And I'm excited for that personally. I have plenty of things that I want to do, and I'm sure that, you know, everybody else does. I've gotten, while I'm on this radio show with you, I've gotten seven different phone calls at the closing bell, which I'm sure everybody is like, holy shit, Lee! We all made money this week.
Yeah.
It's real.
Yeah. I'm especially because my main thing as of recent has been really in the music business. As a touring, performing guitar. I'm a guitar player. I mean, I've done well. It's been, 29-year career, and I've done other things as well. But the music's been, I can actually say that I'm a singer-songwriter, a guy with a guitar that's done pretty well in the business. And, that's wow. Okay, I know I'm lucky, though. So, but I've sat down here since you got me into this league, I'm going to put more into it because I can see what I'm learning. I don't want to do anything stupid. I'm not going to be stupid about this. I'm going to be as intelligent as I can be and as educated and take simple baby steps and learn along the way, make some mistakes along the way. And that's why I'm just playing with a little bit of money here and there and just, okay, got it. And you learn, you develop your the ability to create, to make that decision, to think intuitively, grows and develops as well. And you're always going to make mistakes along the lines. You can't live a flawless life. You can't do anything in life that doesn't have mistakes that go with it. There's always a cost and a payoff for everything you do, no matter what it is, folks. Remember that. There's a cost and a payoff for every decision you make in your life, as there are in participating in this. But as you become more educated, as you become more intuitive in how you're able to conduct yourself within that activity, you're going to get better and better and better. You're going to get better at it. And that's what I'm doing right now. That's what I'm doing. And it's working out for me. So I'm making these paychecks. I'm not really making the paychecks. I'm leaving my money in. But if I wanted to, I'm making paychecks like I just want to play a bunch of guitar gigs and I haven't left my computer. I'm thinking, I'm looking at all these guitars. I'm like, and who needs you?
Love it.
the guitars are missing me.
So before we have to wrap, Chris, I want you to just shout out your info, where they can reach you, the listeners that, you know, are going to want an accountant either now, you know, for personal things or for their own business or for after the squeeze when this all goes down. Where can they reach you? Instagram, Facebook, however, just go ahead and shout it out so we know where to get you.
Of course. Thank you. So my firm is called VAR Accounting Group. That's VAR. And for the sake of ease, you could just reach me personally at Chris, C-H-R-I-S, at varaccounting.com, or you could call me directly on my direct line. The area code is 818-646-9444. As Lee has told you, I'm a very personable, hands-on accountant. You could call me anytime just to have a conversation. I'd be happy to help and see if, you know, I could be useful to you somehow. And it was really, truly a privilege to be on the show as well. You definitely gained a frequent listener from me.
All right. It was absolutely my pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, man. And for everyone listening, this is my guy. Everybody's got their guy, this is the guy. So I would encourage you to reach out if you need those accounting skills done.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd be happy to help.
Chris, thanks so much. And we might even have, you know, as we continue our discussion in money matters and finance and tax, we're probably going to you'll hear from us again to invite you back on the show. And we want to thank you truly for joining us on this program. It's been great having
you. Of course, it'll be a privilege.
Yeah, great. Thank you. Thanks very much, man. All the very best. You have a good day, and we'll see you again on our show shortly. Take care now, Chris.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Hello? Yeah, hi, we're still on. There we go. I want to see if I hit the right button. We are back.
There we
are. Okay. terrific conversation, and thank you so much, Lee, for getting Chris on the show.
Absolutely.
This has been great. This has just been absolutely a wonderful experience. And again, folks, you know, we're all growing as a result of this in one way or another. You know,
I've seen phenomenal growth in you, Andy. I'm just telling you. You were so wet behind the ears of this whole thing when I was telling you about it. And now you're telling me shit that I don't know. I like it.
But in this play, and I wonder about when this is going to happen too. And so part of me sits back and says, wait a minute. You know, I'm putting significant funds in this. I'm like, you know, I support my kids and, you know, other things. And I'm like, you know, that's... I'm like, wait, you know, how long do I have to wait for this? Because I really, you know, I got
everyone in the whole community hates dates because it just gets you anticipating, and then when it doesn't come, it just sets you up for failure. But what I will tell you is everybody is anticipating October 1st. All kinds of SEC rules are coming into effect. All these clampdowns are all coming in. I just read, and you can't quote me on it yet because I just saw the headline of it, that they're going to be shutting down the dark pools. And when that happens, my friend. Everyone's speculating October 1st. This thing is just gonna run. And I personally feel that it's coming soon. The wait is a struggle.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. Yeah,
you
it
know,
is. It
I'm all in,
yeah.
And I'm going to stay all in until we're here. So when that rocket goes off, we're going to be on it to the moon, man.
as many of us are, and I'm hoping, and as I said earlier in the show, we got to all join hands here in one way or another, and not you know, submit to temptation. You know, as this thing climbs to the 400, you know, you bought it $30, $40, $50 a share, whatever, and that's suddenly it's 400, 500, 700, 1,000, 2,000, 10,000. The temptation to sell. Hell yeah! I bought, you know, but it can go to 100,000 or more, folks, and that's
it can.
I'm not making that up. That's a fact. Yeah, it's, you know, everybody has like, well, not everybody, those who are experienced investors have tried and true investor styles coming into play. You know, as the economy grows, the economy, you know, shrinks a little bit, whatever, goes up and down. As commerce continues to grow and companies along with it, everybody has their investing style. We know, you know, what the fundamental value of that is on an individual basis and what the risks are. But, you know, if you're a conservative investor, the reward of this situation far outweighs the risk, because the reward is limitless. It's a limitless reward. Think about
true.
That.
True.
Yeah.
Very
think
true.
Think about it. Yeah. Now,
I like those kind of rewards.
Yeah.
Some of my favorite rewards. Limitless.
Yeah, like, let's say if you're looking, let's say you're looking at, like, I don't have any Apple stock. Well, that Apple's one of the long term, Microsoft, Apple, blah, 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 blah. Even Tesla is probably in that group now and so forth. Let's just say it's Apple, for example. And there's a certain point in time. Let's say we're at stocks $500 to $1,000. I don't know what the price of Apple is or what it's going to be. But there's going to be no demand when it hits a certain price. You know, when it hits, you know, would you spend, let's say it's, you know, I don't know what Apple is. I guess I can look, but I'm just going to hypothetically guess it's $300. Would you pay $1,000 for it? There'd be no demand, right? No.
Right.
No. So once it reaches a certain price, you know, we're kind of done. But AMC, think about this. Just think about this. AMC has guaranteed the high price demand as long as there are short positions out there that need to be covered.
They're
it's
showing
guaranteed.
It week after week after week after week, month after month.
It is guaranteed. So if I'm a typical investor.
The proof
investor,
is in the pudding. The numbers are there. There's no lying about it. The numbers are there.
Exactly. If I'm a typical investor and I've got Apple – and it's $300-$400. Suddenly, I'm not going to pay $1,000 for it. $10,000. Why would I do that, right? But as long as there are shorts, they have to be covered. They will be canceled and covered. It has to happen. Can't not happen, right? It's again,
right?
Example: you go to the casino. You bet on the black. It lands on red. You can't tell the casino you change your mind. It's got to be covered. Your bet has got to be covered. That's a short, kind of a simple illustration of what this is about. So knowing that as long as there are short positions out there, it doesn't matter. If there's 5 billion short positions, every single one of those 5 billion positions needs to be covered. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's reported.
Doesn't get much simpler than that.
I mean, there could be 90
it is
million.
What it is.
There could be 90 million short positions. If everybody holds out till it's $1 million a share, guess what they got to do? They got to pay every single person $1 million a share for every single share of stock that was sold short. Every single one of them. That's guaranteed.
You nailed that.
So if the hedge funds have to cover this,
you're just speaking truth, man. I'm over here listening.
This is absolute truth, and I'm trying to simplify this just for listeners who are just trying to understand what this is about. And I'm making these simple little illustrations, a little more complex than my illustrations that I'm saying on the microphone here. But basically, that is true. What I'm saying is true, and I'm using short little simple illustrations to depict that. The hedge funds have to cover the stocks, and the only reason they don't have to cover it is if AMC goes bankrupt. If AMC goes bankrupt,
which isn't going to happen.
Ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen.
Ain't going to happen.
No. And I know that you don't see that happening, folks. I mean, anybody who knows AMC movie theaters, the movie studios aren't going to let it happen, first of all. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Even if you look at that debt, which isn't a true $25 billion, but let's say it's $18 billion, probably closer to what it is. And I'm not simplifying $18 billion as being any kind of short debt to anybody.
Right.
They're going into sports now and entertainment events and movies and joint ventures with the streaming services that are going to be able to release a movie in AMC and also on your cable or whatever streaming service you have. Both companies will benefit. So they're doing all sorts of very innovative. They're going to release TV commercials. They're going to drive people back to the theaters safely. It's going to happen. So kind of we're breaking records right now with what we're talking about here. People are going to the movies in record. And that's happening. You know, that's what's going to happen. When these things open up, you're going to see a lot of – if you're an AMC stockholder, you get free popcorn. I might want to add that. Okay, now, by the way – I tried to find out. You know, they wanted to know where I live in L.A., and they said there's no AMC theaters near me here. Is there an AMC theater near you?
So
oh, they did.
Yeah, they just bought a really big one. Okay. So I think by the end of the year, it's going to be open.
Good, good. Because I was saying, I want popcorn. Where do I go? And they said, you can't. I'm like, damn.
Yeah, well, they just bought two in L.A., but I know that they said that it was the second highest grossing movie theater in L.A., so they just bought that. So,
gee, there we go.
Yeah, you'll be able to see it in style, man. That theater's awesome.
And if you look at AMC as a business, just look at the business. Let's say forget the squeeze for a minute. I'm looking at buying AMC stock as a business investment because I believe in the company. Let's just say, you know, was the case. Their debt obligations extend out beyond 2023. When, as they open up, and you know, hopefully, I'm just putting COVID out of the way right now. I mean, hopefully, we'll get that resolved. But it's going to be resolved. The numbers will go down. The question is, again, when
right.
is that going to happen? And even if it doesn't, we'll have safety adjustments in place so people can go to the movie theater and enjoy themselves. So no matter how you look at it, people are going to movies, no matter how. COVID or no COVID, it's going to happen.
Absolutely.
So everything, in terms of just the business itself, is pointing to the recovery of AMC. And therefore, everything is pointing to the fact that their shorts are going to be covered on AMC stock. The company ain't going anywhere, folks. It's that do the due diligence yourself. Do it yourself. Don't listen to me. Do it yourself. Okay? The shorts shares are outstanding. We own the supply. We own it. And the supply has to be bought back at the price that we dictated to be bought back. It's as simple as that. And hope that everybody realizes that. And yes, it might be fun to complicate things. It might be fun to go through different scenarios and theories and things. You know, it's all fun to address. But, you know, what are the ifs? You know, you can paint all these, well, what if. But there's facts that are dictating is going to happen. Anyway, I'm going to I can't drive home enough. I can't drive home enough. You know, I tried. I did do my best. You know, I did okay driving this thing.
You did great.
Before they kick us out of here.
I'm proud of you, buddy.
anyway, yeah, so we're right now running 3 minutes over what they gave us. So thank you for hanging in there with us, folks. But we have to wrap this show. It's been a lot of fun. I want to thank Lee Van Dusen, Chris. I can't pronounce his last name. You have to excuse me. But Chris, you're
Vajarbadian.
Thank you for joining.
Vajarbadian.
Vajarbadian. Thank you, Chris Vajarbadian, for joining our show. Chris, thank you for stepping in for Amanda Love on this show. It's been a lot of fun. Enjoyed having you. And, of course, you know, coming back and talking more about this as we move along here, hopefully next Friday. And and wish everybody a great weekend. Again, most of you are listening to this podcast through the weekend. Hope you gain something from it. Fidelity Investments, go open up an account. If you haven't done so already, put some money in there and buy AMC. That's all I can say, folks. It'll change your life. Seriously, it will. That's all I can say, you know?
Absolutely.
So, so for the Andy and Amanda Show, for Cornell Butler, for Lee Van Dusen, for Chris Vajarbadian, you say it.
Vajarbadian.
Thank you. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I want to thank everybody for tuning in, and we'll see everybody on Monday. Monday morning, we go on at 9 a.m. California, at noon and East Coast, at 5 p.m. in UK. 515-605-9888 is the number you dial to join our show. Everybody have a great weekend, and thanks so much for listening. We're out of here.
Take care.